everybody. Welcome to this episode of Side Order Desserts, because it's a little bit extra.
It's the first one, the first episode of Side Order Desserts.
It is the first episode of Side Order Desserts. It's a small podcast just to give you guys a little understanding of our world of food. The first topic is, why are British takeaways so shit? And I'm here with my friend Leo and Henry, who are going to help us. I don't know why I'm looking at the mic.
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't need to look at
it. If it makes you feel more comfortable, just look at it.
I don't think it does make me feel more comfortable.
No, it's
glowing.
It's got a light and it's scary. Yeah, why a British takeaway shit? Discuss. I think it's... the ratio is way off. Like, the ratio, by I mean good to terrible, is, like, way off.
It's like everyone who owns a takeaway in Britain has no pride.
Yeah. Yeah, like, especially when you're driving around, like, some of the less nice parts of Manchester as well, and you're looking at them, and some of them even haven't even bothered with the sign. It just says takeaway.
Yeah.
Like, in just block letters.
Yeah.
And you're like, we do a pizza, we do a burger, we do a kebab.
I don't...
And we do all of those things badly.
Who had the idea that that was a good idea? Like, we're
to limit it down to those things.
No, like, we're going to sell everything. We're not going to specialise. We're going to be like, pizza. People, everyone comes in drunk, wants pizza. Mm. Everyone comes in drunk, wants burger.
Well, we were saying
everyone
that.
Everyone wants
kebab. That's part of the issue, I think. It's mainly... we were talking about this when we were at Double Zero.
Yeah.
And how, like, they're so good because they specialise. And I think it's... all right, here's the big topic. I reckon... the big reason for the multitude of these takeaways is drinking culture.
So the,
like you just said, I reckon it's
dumbass people
who drink too much.
I've got a bit
and
of
plus
takeaways up for the rest of us.
Yeah. I genuinely believe that, because people come in, they're battered, right? They don't give a fuck what they're eating. Do you know what I mean? They don't care what it tastes like. They're so hammered, they just want something salty and like they're just like dripping with ooze, and then, you know, like you wake up the next day with the doner kebab by your bed and the grease is congealed, and it's like the worst experience ever.
You know, because this is the stupid thing. Like, if you've watched the On Tour episode of in Amsterdam, like that is one of the best kebabs I've ever eaten in my life. And that thing is
pretty much everything we ate while we were walking around there was amazing. Like, no matter where, even like Fabo, because like I love Fabo, but Dutch people are like Fabo, like that's like McDonald's. What are you doing there? Yeah.
The strange thing is that's a takeaway that's been made and was started up because that's what they wanted to specialise in. The problem is, I think, that there's so many of these takeaways that have come up and they're just there as, you know, to take in the footfall from all the drunk people passing by. But then the problem is now you go on JustEat.com and you want to order a takeaway and it's just littered with all of those takeaways as well, because this is just another place for them to potentially make money as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's just something they've tacked onto their thing. Like, someone's come to them and been like, look, you can take online orders this way, go for it. And then they're like, okay.
So how do you know how to define from one to another as well?
Also in that point, then, are all the best takeaways not on Just Eat?
I don't know, it's an interesting one, but if you ever read the reviews on Just Eat, they're hilarious. Yeah. Like, some of the stories of like, what delivery drivers and stuff have done to customers are so funny. Like, well, just like what your mate Andy was saying before about how a guy from, well, we won't say the takeaway, but the it was a guy from a Chinese takeaway just like went to go, like he paid him, and he went to go like he was getting change from his car, and he just ran off. He just ran off with the change.
What?
you'd just be stood there like,
if I was high when that happened, I'd be like, what the fuck just
what is this? But yeah, no, it's like, but yeah, that's an interesting one though, because it's like that comes into like branding and stuff though.
Yeah.
Like, does Just Eat cater to a certain type of clientele, which I think we can all agree it does. But there are a few gems. Like, I think with anything, like, there are a few gems on there. Like, isn't Jasmine on there?
Jasmine's
on there. Like, I think, yeah, there are a few. You've got to really look for them. And the way those sites are set up, there's no way, like, the rating systems, like, you see a few takeaways that, one, are sponsored, so they're up higher on the list because they're paid to be higher on the list. Mm-hmm. And two, you see them all with, like, 5-star reviews, and then some of them have like 12 reviews, and some of them have like 4,000. You know, you're just like, how do we
sort through this? A lot of them just snowball. You can get a one that's 5 stars that's got 7,000 5-star ratings, and it'll be at best a mediocre meal. And then you can get one that's got 8 5-star ratings, and because it hasn't had that snowball effect yet of people just going, oh, 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the same drunk the people point. That didn't manage to get a takeaway on the way home, got in, then ordered it. And let's be honest, people drunk click a lot.
Yeah.
True, I once ordered a piano while drunk, so I think, yeah,
true.
People
that's
do,
weird.
People do click.
What, do you reckon that we're getting to a point now where people are getting more into their food and more into their more like casual eating, and there's a lot more disposable income and maybe things like that?
Yeah.
So do you reckon that some of the takeaways are going to start becoming better? Like, what's this? That is that not a sponsor. Deliveroo.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Or insert name here of said we deliver any food to your door. Idea.
But it's interesting that, yeah, because like most of the places you eat when you're out and about, it's like there's this separation. Like,
between that and a takeaway.
Yeah, there are restaurants that deliver, but you know, not many of them. Most of the chains that you know people are used to now don't deliver. Like in America, like when I lived in America, McDonald's deliver. You know, that was just it.
That also has a huge obesity problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. I'm not saying I wish McDonald's delivered, but it's a thing they do that. So there's like that delineation there, almost like people like the quality of say something like Barburrito, and now a company has been allowed to a company has started that just gives people that. So is that going to affect all of these rubbish takeaways that used to be our only option?
Do you reckon there's people out there that they've found a place that is most people would be like, that is the worst food I've ever eaten, but they fucking love it.
Oh, God, like, yeah.
Oh, I love the doner kebabs from fucking such
and
such. Oh,
yeah,
place.
Mate.
And it's like the worst doner kebab in the world.
Well, it's also a culture as well. I remember when I came from Israel, it was one of the sort of things that I got introduced to. I have a doner kebab, and I just remember someone handing me this on lunch break, just like a massive cardboard box of just doner meat that I'd never seen before, and it just looked off. And then there was mayo just plaid all over it, and I had no idea what to expect.
People have an amazing capacity to like horrible shit.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Chris Brown.
But like, I tasted it, and I, you know, like the saltiness of it and everything. I was just like, yeah, that I totally get why people love this, and I ended up having like 2 more that week, and then instantly realized that was the worst thing.
And then you were like dying inside.
Yeah, it just
also,
felt horrible.
That was the first kebab you'd eaten.
Yeah.
But you didn't know how good the kebab
you didn't know
be.
Any
yeah.
better.
Yeah, you didn't know any
and
better.
And I'd also
so
learned,
shit, but
I'd kind of
like
seen people
like
eating them in pretty terrible states as well and things like that.
When
and it just it kind of got a stigma. So, you
yeah,
know, without that
yeah.
stigma, is it still that terrible?
So that's another question.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. That's true. Because
so
I used to order
kebab
that
actually
all the
amazing.
Time.
We just never order them.
I feel like I'm coming out here. I've had a lot of doner kebabs in my time. But yeah, there was like, I mean, just the fact the one we had in Amsterdam in like the buns, that I mean that proves you can do it right. And there's
they bake their own fucking bread.
Yeah.
Like
exactly. That's just putting in the extra effort. Like I remember when I was in London, like it's pretty much the best takeaway I've ever had. It kind of links into what you were saying about like you know, just like has happened with burgers, with you know all the restaurants in Manchester, like Almost Famous and all of them. Is that going to happen with other foods? And you were saying like pizza's next.
That's the next hipster food.
Yeah,
but that's another podcast.
Yeah, that's in another episode.
Pizza.
But
pizza's the new.
But yeah,
food.
Like that happens all over the place. Like there's this place in London. It was years ago that I went there, but it was called Ranoush or Marouche, one of those two.
Rama Manouche.
And you should have seen this place. Like it's got like a rep for being amazing, and the whole place is just made of marble. Like the whole place is just glass and marble, and like looks proper swanky. But then they've got just the best looking kind of doner turners. God, I don't know what they're called.
Rotisseries.
Meat turning. But you know how when like how with like chicken doner, it looks like individual pieces have been like skewered, whereas like lamb doner tends to look like they've just put a load of lamb in a blender and just reconstituted it into that shape.
Do you know why it looks like that?
Why?
Because that's exactly what's happening.
But yeah, this place, it was like, looked like beautiful chunks of like lamb all compressed onto this thing, and it, like, the juices looked amazing. It looked marinated in something awesome, and yeah, it was incredibly tasty.
See, that's a good kebab.
Yeah, I mean, that they put the effort in. I'm pretty sure they baked their own naans there as well, and they like had a guy who's like the sauce guy.
I am the sauce guy.
I think every place needs a sauce guy. It's important.
Yeah. What I heard a thing the other day, which is probably, you know, going on to a little bit about like takeaway and on why is takeaway food and street food not a big thing in Britain, like in other cultures, is I heard something about like gangsters.
Yeah, because we've got what, like, two in Manchester.
Yeah, like you've got Buzz. Like, there's a Cool Runnings.
Yeah,
Cool Runnings is like a street van in Chorlton Road. If anyone doesn't know where it is, near the church on Chorlton Road, it's a Jamaican takeaway truck, and it is unbelievable. Check out the review in Hidden Gems of Manchester. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's. It's weird because that's the only one that I can think of in the city, proper city limits. Nowhere else is like food trucks. Yeah. And if they are food trucks, they're usually shit food trucks. Oh, we do cups of tea in a fucking polystyrene cup.
Yeah. Or the ones that show up on match day.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, that hot dog. Match day hot dog. Yeah. And I think it's probably because as well, because we talked about the drink culture before, the discerning or the discernity of the people that are eating the food.
Mm.
Because, you know, the drinking culture is just, they're the sort of people that would be like that, and they wouldn't give a shit. Like, just
whatever's closest.
It's not the best burger in the world.
Yeah, whatever I hit first.
How the fuck do we change that?
Yeah, well,
is there any way of changing your culture? Because there's other countries out there that have such a rich culture of food. Like, just over the water, like France.
Yeah.
The fast food there is unfucking believable.
Yeah, and it's just like, so many countries. Like, what? Yeah, what is it that we're doing wrong? But
we've got such a like a mixing culture as well. There's so many cultures. So low.
Proper like,
why are the standards so low?
Yeah,
why is the standard so low for a country that should have such high?
You know, if you know that 150 of the same trucks that are littered on the road on the way to the United football ground or City football ground, have the same burgers, and it's just a case of people are going to look for the shortest queue. There's no priority.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same on a night out. It's, you know, just go to the place with the door open with the smallest queue. They just need to churn their food out. They don't care about
making. I mean, on the street food thing, what we do have is,
I'd queue for some of those.
We've got that. We've got the Piccadilly Gardens market.
Oh, yeah.
That runs, I'm not sure what days that runs, but that's always got, like, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose that's the best kind of version of street food we've got in Manchester. The stuff in the Arndale's pretty good as well, like the Viet Shack.
Well, I'd consider them different though. They're market stalls. They're not.
Yeah, true. Like,
they are fast food in the state. Like, but yeah,
I think the biggest place this street food image is coming from though is New York, isn't it? Yeah. With the, you know, it started with the hot dog vendors and then
big gay ice cream.
But then, amazing
those hot dogs, that
like
much?
Amazing falafel, amazing falafel and like pizza trucks and like all sorts of
Vietnamese
like,
crazy trucks,
even just like sandwich trucks, like they
same in LA,
like deli trucks as well. They're like, they go in on it. It's beautiful. I mean, what's the best? I mean, I told you my best one. What's your guys' best?
Yeah, is that your best kebab experience?
That's my best kebab experience. Yeah, okay. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of terrible kebab experience that that's built on, but yeah.
It has to be a kebab. What's your, like, your favourite fast food?
Yeah, I haven't got the best kebab experience. No. Just the first one, because it was strange.
Because it was so new.
Yeah, strange and new.
Is there like a particular food where you just like that takeaway that I've just had delivered to my house? Unbelievable.
I just never order, you know, I always try to order different takeaways all the time because there's so much choice out there. And that's, I guess, the reason for this podcast is the fact that 95% of the times I order it, it's always terrible. So, you know, over the past 3 or 4 years, there's just been the odd, one takeaway that's kind of done it for me, and then I've just ordered it for another month, because that's, you know.
Because you feel safe.
Yeah. That's it.
I trust them.
Yeah.
They haven't hurt me yet. Yeah, I find that way, actually. Takeaways can be a bit like relationships sometimes. Like you find a good one, you stick with it for a while, and then something bad happens, and then you're like, well, I may go back.
And then it gets its fucking period. Won't shut.
And there's always something as well.
And it's always me. I never do anything right.
Fall out of love.
And the good ones, there's always something that makes it the experience not as smooth as you expected, as or you hoped, I guess. If you order a shit takeaway, gets here no problem, 15-20 minutes, happy days. I order the Middle Eastern food that I like from Jasmine, takes 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes to get it. No idea why, but they just always take ages. I ring the Greek place, they always ask me to come downstairs and go around the corner and meet them down the road. Lazy fucker. So my favourite ones make me work for it.
But I think that's down to the divide we were talking about before between restaurants that deliver and takeaways. Because I think restaurants that deliver, your takeaway order is way lower down on their list of priorities than the people they've got in the restaurant. Whereas takeaway, you're the only customer they've got. So, yeah, it's better, but they don't really, it's not their main priority.
No.
So they leave you, hanging for ages.
Yeah.
And maybe, the delivery guy's a waiter as well or something. He's got, yeah, you know what I mean? Just, the little things that it could be. But that's, and it's annoying though, because it means the customer service dictates whose food gets ordered more.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a fair balance, because it should be just best food wins.
It just seems like an easy formula. I mean, you know, get the food right. If you've got that, why is it so hard to get the rest? I don't know.
I know that it's. I think it's just a lack of pride. Like I said, this big guy.
Yeah.
They know the quickest way of making money is to do that.
And slam. Yeah, fast.
Fast food, really fast food that isn't costing them that much. The overhead's a little, very little. To just run a business to make food that people will eat and make a small profit. That's the be all and end all of what they want to do. There's not only every now and again do you get someone who's like, I want to make something that people will pay more for because it's so good. And because our service is great, if someone, let's say for instance, I ordered an Indian and the Indian came,
what's his name? What food is he going to make for you?
Jeffrey.
Is he working a call centre?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like his real name.
Doesn't. So Jeffrey comes. And he's brought this amazing naan bread that looks like it was baked just before bringing it. The curry isn't the biggest portion, but the chicken's so succulent. And I'd eat, you get to that stage where you eat and you're like, mate, this is restaurant quality, good quality food.
Mm.
And then I looked at the price and it was, I don't know, the curry was £4. The rice was £2.
Yeah.
That's £6. For rice, curry, and a naan, £2, so less than a tenner.
Okay.
So you've got £10 to work with, so that's enough to make some good quality ingredients with big overheads. I'd happily pay that, but now it's £5, and it's not as satisfying, so I probably won't order from them again.
Yeah.
So they can get £5 once, so they can get £10 50 times off me. Why has no one worked that out who works in the fast food industry in the northwest of England, if not the whole of this stupid country?
Yeah. The whole price perception thing, isn't it? Exactly. Like when you're looking at it, because you can't really see quality on those online menus on Just Eat or Eat It Now or whatever it's called.
I dispute that, my friend.
Okay.
Do you know how you know quality?
How?
How small their menu is.
Yeah, I agree with
smaller
that.
Smaller their menu, the better their quality of their food
True.
Is.
True. Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's the amount of restaurants, if you go to restaurants, the amount of restaurants that exist that just specialise in one thing that amazing now, you've got, especially in Manchester as well, actually, you've got, for burgers, you've pretty much got a couple of choices that...
Salita's, almost famous.
Yeah, and what do they specialise in? Just those two, that's what you know them for. Burritos, same company.
It's the best food business model, though, isn't it? Nando's...
Yeah, do something and keep it
get
to that
it perfect.
And get it perfect, yeah. Like that place that shut down, that's one of the saddest stories. La Relais de Venise, the place on near Jamie's Italian, that was just an amazing French restaurant where they just do steak and they do it right, and it's just the nicest secret sauce on it. You can only have it blue or rare, and it kind of frightens a few people at first, but as soon as you have it, you realise why. It's because they've got it absolutely right. And they give it to you in two parts. There's absolute, you know, care given with every single detail of the dish, the way that it's served to you. And both times that I went, I was the only person in that restaurant that seated maybe 200 people. And then it just shut down. And then you've got Jamie's Italian next door, which has Jamie's name plastered to it. It doesn't specialise in absolutely anything, especially Italian as well. It's very average, but it does unbelievably. It's always big business.
It's chain.
And if you look at the Parisian store, hence why they made it across the water, ridiculously, it does ridiculously well. The London one does ridiculously well. They've got two in London, just because culture, I guess, you know, more people. But in Manchester, you do find that, I guess, you've got more of the sort of British culture.
You got more of the British culture because it's a more northern city. But I think there's one food that Manchester does very, very well. If you go to the restaurant, Chinese, I think they got an awesome Chinese culture because it's such a big Chinatown.
Mm. Yeah, true.
But their takeaway is again.
Yeah.
Who's doing it?
Yeah.
Who's not talking to each other?
Put it together.
Why are they not talking together?
Mm.
Hey man, I do a really good restaurant in my in Chinatown. It's really good. Everyone comes, it makes me loads of money. Yeah, you should do that with your takeaway. No, I'll just serve the same old shit.
We like the same old shit, it's easy.
It makes me money, yeah, but you could make more money. Nah, it's a bit of a risk, I'll just save old shit.
Well, I feel like I need to clarify that my Jeffrey comments, I'm Indian, you can't see it. But that's, yeah.
You can clarify the Jeffrey.
Yeah,
comments.
Yeah.
And what Maxie didn't tell us about gangsters.
Yeah, so going back to the point of the French restaurant closing down, you've got unbelievable people taking care of the side of the food. You can relay that back to takeaways, all these great takeaways that suddenly pop up and you've got them for maybe a couple of years at best.
When they make their money and then
disappear. And
fine.
But I think it's more down to the fact that, well, most of them shut down, and it's because the people who are making this great food don't have that business guidance or just get lost. You know, it's probably a mixture of both, get lost on the British culture. And me personally, I think, and this might not go down too well, but the food in Britain, or British food in general, is pretty dull compared to the rest of the world. Breakfast,
well, that's
Sunday dinners.
That's the idea, isn't it? I mean, you know, we're a country that imports culture, like in a big way. I mean, it's part of the melting pot. Definitely food culture. Like most modern curries were invented here.
Yeah.
You know, like the chicken tikka masala was invented in like Birmingham or something.
When a good Indian restaurant does it, it's fucking amazing.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They won't call it anything like a tikka masala or anything. They'll just be like, oh, this is just our curry.
Yeah.
It's the curry that they make. And that's how curry is as well. In, you know, typically if you know, family
just slapping labels on it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for mass consumption.
Oh, I've put this much ingredient and this much ingredient, so I'll call this one this. And actually, if I put less of that and more of that one, I can call it something else. They're just... it needs to be there if you like a particular flavour, and that makes total sense. But it does over-egg it as well. I think I like the... When it comes down to it, just get that thing right. Go to a curry house that does every curry under the sun.
But like the chef's got their like signature specialty.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well,
when
yeah.
They're like, you go for this thing that they make. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I went to Charcoal's, a really nice place in India, in Glasgow last week, and that was unbelievable. There were two pages of starters, side orders and everything, so maybe about 9 main dishes. Not a lot of choice, but those 9 were... And I went back the second night, so I had 2 of them, and I tasted the other two guys' stuff, and everything I had was unbelievable, best curry I've ever had. And that was... No variety. Again, just get it right.
Yeah.
And you're right, it goes back to your point. Just find a place that just does one.
Yeah, well, whenever you go to those, like, even it's like a buffet place that does, like, a bit of everything and it's all terrible.
Do you know what it is with this, though, right? Okay, I know we're talking about British takeaways being shit, but every now and again, I crave that.
What?
I crave, like, a mad buffet way. It's like a food fun park. I know it's not going to be, like, you know, the best meal I've ever eaten in my life.
True.
But I just like the fact that I can just try a little bit of every... You know, I can't decide what to eat. Go to a fucking World Buffet. boom.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Just got yeah.
See, I've only been
I always feel like I'm doing it wrong though. Like I always feel like I, you know,
are you putting Jello on your noodles? Yeah, you're not. You're doing it.
Yeah, wrong. But I'm like, I've got a certain amount of stomach to be full, so I've got to prioritize, and like, I don't want to waste my time trying stuff that's gonna be awful. So like,
yeah, and
it's
honest,
too much of a minefield for me. Do you
I've
know
only
what I mean?
I've been to
like,
World before once, and it was terrible.
I've just got this image of you crying at Disneyland. There's too much choice.
What do I do?
Mama, don't want to go to Space Mountain.
We wasted all day at Epcot.
Perfect.
Epcot's all right. I don't
know. So
yeah.
In conclusion, I think that. Should we test the theory?
Well, or yeah.
Should we go into the theory?
Yeah.
The last bit of the podcast now.
I think we've made some bold proclamations. We need to follow up on them.
Exactly. So let's get some menu up. Let's get a menu up. And if you fancy ordering some takeaway, let's order some takeaway. But we have to test the theory. We can only order off Just Eat, and it has to be the place that has the smallest menu, regardless of what the food is.
Yeah.
Okay.
The smallest, yeah. the
like just the fewest things
that has the fewest yeah. things okay. that you can buy. We have to eat from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, then we'll know if the theory works. If it does, then we need to open a business called Tiny Menu, and we just go around to takeaway.
I can already
stop selling all this shit, or still sell it, but don't put it all on Just Eat.
Yes, but only put one thing.
Only put one.
There's no way of telling just from looking at the.
Well, pick. Let's go first. Go up and down with your fingers until I say stop.
All right. Okay. At random. Right.
Two finger gesture on the mic. You know how it rolls. Stop. Right. That place there. What you want?
Bento King in Hume.
Okay. So I've actually eaten at Bento King in Hume.
Yeah.
I've actually got takeaway from there. That is.
It's average.
It's very average.
Yeah.
Chinese food.
Good chicken balls.
Yeah,
salt and pepper chicken.
That's about it, though. And there's the size of that curse is massive.
Probably one of the greatest fusion foods in the world, salt and pepper chips. Like, that isn't even... Mm. It's not Chinese, it's not British, but oh my God, is that tasty. If you ever get good salt and pepper chips, guys.
Salt and pepper anything.
So, but yeah. So, Bento King, we'll scrip him out of the list.
All right, we'll do it again. Right, here we go.
Stop.
Buddha Express, Manchester.
Also eaten there.
Okay.
Pretty average. Again, very similar to Buddha.
The menu's massive.
It's huge. It's got a huge menu. It does Malaysian and like Thai and Chinese.
So I don't even know where to start with this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Check Love Balti out.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's so much. Everyone's on this.
Let's see what Love Balti have got.
Yeah, okay. What was your...
Because we know they've got it right. So let's see how big their menu is.
Okay, so I've never eaten at Love Balti, so that's top of the list so far.
For me, I love Balti's amazing. I've had it a couple of times.
By the way, if you're listening to this podcast anywhere other than Manchester, tough shit. Like,
but try it yourselves.
Try it yourselves. Yeah, in your own area.
Wherever you are.
Because if it rings true to us three, I'm guessing it's going to ring true to quite a lot of people of the same sort of culture and backgrounds we have.
Yeah.
That this is going to be a very much first world problem for them, that they can't find someone to bring them food. But they're in the first world,
so it needs to be addressed.
Exactly. If I was sat here talking to you about the third world, then you'd be like, sure, you dickhead, you don't know anything about the third world. And they'd be right, because I don't. So I'm not going to make a podcast about that.
We're going to talk about what I do now.
But right now, I've got standards, adhere to them.
Exactly.
Okay. How do I find Love Balti?
Command F.
That's a very good point.
If anyone doesn't know that, Command F is search word.
Balti. Balti, Balti, Balti. Love Balti.
Do you reckon...
There you are.
Okay, let's have a look.
Do they have biryani?
They do have biryani.
What's their biryani like? Because biryani to me is probably one of the more traditional Indian foods. Biryani's not an invention of the British made up. Biryani's...
yeah.
In India.
Yes. Yes. I'm a terrible Indian person. I can't say...
I agree.
Yes?
I was asking both of you, not just because you're Indian.
I have the same answer.
We're looking about India.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Sounds plausible.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
No problem. So we ordered from Love Balti, and it turned out to be really, really good.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah, and did we come to the assumption that that was actually a long menu?
It's not that long of a menu, because like you said, it...
One dish, lots of meat variations.
Exactly. Yeah. One, so there's like 10 different sauces with each of a meat variation, and the lamb that I had in mine was amazing.
Yeah. I suppose there were still like 15 different dishes that you could have though as well.
And yeah.
I guess, who knows, could they be even better if you had less to choose from?
I reckon the answer is yes to that.
Three. Mm. Are they all as good as that? To be honest, like, three of them were fairly similar.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't totally different. Could they have just had one, like, we were all into them. If it's all, it already catered to our palate, why isn't there just one, like, signature
one
dish?
One perfect dish.
You know what I mean?
They did. It was a chef special
part
chicken.
Of the as well. Could we
Do you remember the chocolate corner they mentioned?
Yeah, I need to try that one day.
One day,
yeah.
But yeah.
So to wrap up the topic then, really, what we've come down to is, for a number of reasons, there's a lot of shit out there. You've just got to, find your way, learn what to look out for.
Learn to look out, well, I don't think this is more, I don't want to, this isn't a lesson for how to pick out a good takeaway.
It feels like it's become
It feels like it has, doesn't it?
But
we did it and got a good one, but
yeah.
It's like, we just wanted to discuss about, you know, why is it so difficult? It is difficult, like, I think we found that it comes down to, yeah, it's a minefield, and it comes down to people's bad taste in foods, or apathy towards complaining about the quality of food as fucked up takeaways for everyone.
It's a first world minefield.
It's a first world minefield of getting people to bring you obscenely large amounts of food to your house. I hope you can negotiate that minefield with me to find good takeaways.
Yeah.
Okay guys, that was the first podcast. Hope you enjoyed it and thanks for listening. If you've got any ideas at all of things you'd like us to discuss, well, it has to be to do with food or travel, or travelling to get food, or food whilst travelling, or getting to food, or towards food, or beyond food. You get the idea. Let us know. Contact us at SideOrd or at the website www.side-order.co.uk.